Tina spends the next day recovering and being pathetically grateful that the Pens have a day between the 25th and their next game. He isn't sure that he quite manages to work off everything he ate at Sydney's, but he does feel better after working out, pushing himself right to the point of exhaustion. Their game against the Islanders the next day starts slow, but something just clicks in the second period and Gino scores once, gets an assist on James's goal in the third, and they take home the win with a score of 3-1. They follow it up with another win against the Devils 2 days later, leaving all of them in a pretty good mood going into the new year. Brooks and Chris take some of the rookies out for drinks after the game, and Gino tags along, bringing James and Paul along with him. The other members of the team wander in and out, as usual. Most of the family men stay for one drink before going home to their families. And Sydney stays long enough to congratulate everyone and wish them a happy new year before leaving. Gino watches him go, nursing his vodka tonic and talking himself out of following him. James sits down next to Gino and says,
"You don't seem happy for a guy who just won a game."
"Not everyone is as perky as you," Paul says, leaning against the bar.
"I'm just saying, he's being a gloomy Gus," says James.
He kicks Gino's leg.
"We should find you a girl."
"No, no,"
Gino says, waving him off.
"Don't want."
"You might need it, though," James says. "You need companionship. Someone to go eat desserts with you so you don't go by yourself."
Gino rolls his eyes.
"Never let it go."
"No, because it's really pathetic," James says gleefully. "I think even Polly agrees that's worse than the state of my apartment."
"Nothing is worse than the state of your apartment," Polly says flatly.
"So, anyone here that catches your eye?"
James looks around.
"There are a couple of blondes over in the corner."
"I don't want a girl,"
Gino snaps, far louder than he means to. James flinches back, eyes widening. Gino winces and lowers his voice.
"Not interested."
"Are you back together with Oksana?" James asks.
"No, wait, you told me she had a new boyfriend. That can't be it."
"Not Oksana,"
Gino says gruffly.
"Someone else."
"Dating?"
When Gino shakes his head, James leans back.
"Oh."
He sounds sorry now, and he frowns awkwardly at his drink.
"So you're in love with someone?"
"Don't want to talk about it,"
Gino says to his drink.
"Never gonna happen."
"That sucks, man," Paul says sympathetically. "Want another drink?"
"Yes,"
Gino says fervently. Gino drinks enough that he needs a cab home, and he collapses in bed with the intention of sleeping as long as he can. His plans are ruined way too early the next morning when someone rings the doorbell, loud and insistent. Gino cracks his eyes open, glares at the ceiling before dragging himself out of bed and stumbling blearily downstairs. He yanks the front door open with the intention of telling off whoever has the nerve to wake him before noon. But his words die in his mouth when he sees who it is.
"Hi," Sydney says, shifting from foot to foot. Can I come in?"
Gino
says, still staring.
"Sid?"
"Yes?"
Sydney frowns at him.
"Oh, you're hungover, aren't you?"
Sydney shakes his head and gently pushes Gino aside.
"Come on, let's get you some aspirin."
Gino sits at his kitchen table while Sydney bustles around, pouring Gino a glass of water and getting him a couple of tablets of aspirin from his cabinet. Gino accepts it gratefully and downs the whole glass in one swallow. When he puts it down, Sydney is sitting across from him, annoyingly coherent and awake.
"What you doing here, Sid?"
Gino asks, too tired to couch his bluntness in courtesy.
"Erina kicked me out," Sydney says, going a little red. "She said she wanted a day with Mason," he shrugs. "And I don't know, I thought maybe we could watch the game."
"Winter Classic?"
Gino asks. Sydney nods.
"Okay."
He blinks at Sydney, turning over what he had said.
kick you out?
Oh, Aaron's been staying in one of the guest bedrooms. Sydney shrugs in a clear attempt at nonchalance. Her house is back in Philadelphia, and she didn't want to take Mason back there when she didn't know how long she'd be here for. She was going to stay in a hotel, but that's silly. Sydney looks at his hands. It's been good. He doesn't sound entirely convinced, and Gino doesn't miss the way Sydney's voice wavers at the idea of Aaron taking Mason back. Gino, as usual, is weak to Sydney's attempts to soldier on.
Okay,
Gino says, standing up.
We go watch.
The game isn't until the afternoon, Sydney points out. But, I brought the DVDs you gave me. He pulls the box set out of his coat to demonstrate. I don't know if you're still willing to watch it with me, but...
Whatever you want, Sid.
Gino says with a little more sincerity than he intends. He coughs awkwardly and says,
But we need food.
They order out for lunch, and Gino putters around the living room, getting the DVD player set up while Sydney talks about the show. I read the book while I was out, he is saying as Gino fiddles with the stereo. And I've read other places that it has some inaccuracies, but it's all about the Pacific Theater, and that's not talked about much in a lot of the books. Gino listens with one ear as he turns the TV on. He had never been a great student, always too busy thinking about hockey to concentrate, and Russian schools taught a much different version of World War II than Canadian ones, let alone American ones. He isn't as enthralled by history as Sydney is, but he has to admit that it is interesting, at least. And honestly, he would listen to Sydney talk about how paint dried just to hear his voice. Sorry, am I boring you? Sydney asks suddenly. And Gino looks up from the DVD player to see Sydney flushing. I know I'm kind of babbling.
No, no,
Gino says hurriedly.
It is interesting, promise. And good you have passion that is not hockey.
I have Mason, Sydney points out indignantly.
And not family,
Gino adds.
Good to have hobby.
He holds out his hand for the first disc.
Ready?
Sydney curls up on the sofa next to him, shoulder pressing against Gino's. When he shows no sign of moving or even noticing how much contact he has initiated, Gino finally relaxes all the way and lets himself get sucked into the show. They watch the two episodes on the first disc, taking a break between them to eat their food, before switching to the Winter Classic channel. Neither of them has been following the HBO special, but Sydney announces he's rooting for the Red Wings.
Pasha's team,
Gino says, nodding as Das Yuk shows up on screen.
I root for them too.
Good, Sydney says, leaning more heavily against him. We can't root against each other, unless it's Russia versus Canada. Gino laughs.
Yes.
It's fun watching a game with Sydney. They usually don't get the chance, too busy with their own training to just enjoy a game together. Sydney watches plenty of tape, but usually he's analyzing the other teams in anticipation of an upcoming game. Now Sydney is muttering under his breath at plays, and Gino forgets to watch part of the first period in favor of watching Sydney's face. Gino doesn't resent Mason, not at all. But he has missed having time like this with Sydney, just the two of them hanging out together. In Russia, he always spent New Year's Day with family and friends. And since he moved, the closest he's gotten is Skyping with them to talk and wish everyone well. He had been expecting another year of that. Instead, he has Sydney.
Glad you're here,
Gino says during a commercial break. Sydney looks over and smiles wide and bright. I am too, he says. Sydney goes home after the game, the Red Wings having won it with a filthy goal from Datsyuk in the last 5 minutes of the second period. But he hugs Gino before he goes, awkward but sincere. Thanks, he said. I had fun.
Always welcome, Sid,
Gino says. And he swallows back the horrible swell of overwhelming fondness that threatens to rise up and rip out the words he isn't ready to say.
Kiss Mason for me.
Sydney smiles widely and says, I will. And Gino watches him go, heavy-hearted.
Gino finds himself looking forward to the All-Star break more than usual. He and James are going along again with Flower and Tanger. Sydney had apparently used Mason as an excuse with the front office to get out of having to go. Which makes Flower laugh and say, I should have said that. You love it, Chris says, shaking his head, and Flower laughs again before saying something in French that makes Chris snort skeptically. Tell Jack hi for me, Sydney says, the day before they leave. Gino is over at his house to retrieve a package that Sydney says is a belated birthday present for Jack, and he's trying not to watch Aaron, who's feeding Mason and looking very much at home. And that I'm sorry I'm not there.
Not sorry,
Gino accuses, looking back at Sydney.
No, Sydney agrees, smiling. Have fun.
Yes.
Gino looks over at Mason, who's watching him with big eyes.
Hey, Mason.
Mason, give Gino a hug, Sydney says, looking over at him. Mason opens his arms and Aaron laughs, backing away so Gino can pick him up. Mason has gotten big, he realizes, and he feels terrible when he realizes that he hasn't seen Mason since Christmas. He should be around more. Mason settles in Gino's arms happily, mumbling, Gee, under his breath. Now that he has met Aaron, Gino can see the way she's reflected in the soft freckles on Mason's nose, barely visible now, and the softer waves of Mason's hair, and his heart hurts a little. Gino's eyes sting, and he kisses Mason's cheek.
Gee, leave now, he says, but I come back soon.
Promise? Sydney asks.
Yeah,
Gino says.
I promise.
He hugs Mason, who presses a kiss to Gino's cheek when prompted by Sydney, then hands him back to Aaron. She, to his surprise, gives him a hug once she has Mason settled back in his chair. Good to see you again, she says. You should come by more often. I think these two miss you.
I see Gino all the time, Sydney points out.
You were whining yesterday that he hadn't been over in ages, Aaron says, poking Sydney in the side. Sydney bats her hand away, grinning, and Gino has to look away, stomach twisting.
I was not whining, says Sydney.
Whining, as if you were the toddler in this house. Aaron gives Gino a smile that she's clearly expecting him to share, but he can't quite make himself return it.
You should go.
Gino says.
Travel tomorrow.
Oh, right, Sydney says, stepping away. Mason, say goodbye to Gino. Bye, G, Mason says obediently. And Gino hates the way his heart clenches up at that.
Bye,
he says, waving solemnly to him. He gives Sydney and Aaron his best attempt at a smile.
See you.
Sydney follows him to the door, frowning. Are you okay? He asks. You seem kind of off.
Fine,
Gino says shortly.
We'll give Jack his gift.
Okay. Sydney lingers at the door a little longer, still frowning at Gino, then shakes his head and says, Well, have a safe flight. Text me when you land.
Sure.
Gino waves and steps outside. Sydney stands silhouetted in the door until Gino is back in his car. Then he closes the door, and Gino is left looking at the dark front of Sydney's house, chest tight and painful. Gino and James get drafted to the same team again by a clearly forward-thinking Jack Johnson, but Chris and Flower get claimed by Ryan Callahan, so the four of them part ways to mingle with their team. Gino finds himself drawn into James's group of friends, most of them OHL alumni. Jack thanks Gino for the gift when he passes it off, provoking some chirping from the guys about trying to butter up the captain.
Should be trying that on the coach, Sagan calls as Gino passes.
Gino rolls his eyes at him.
Where is there even to go drink around here?
James asks as they're heading out, supposedly with the vague idea of going to a bar.
We could ask Rick Nash, Stammer suggests from Gino's other side.
If Rick Nash knew where to drink in Columbus, he wouldn't have wanted to leave so badly, says PK.
He laughs at his own joke, head tipping back, and Stammer hits him, looking like he's trying to suppress a smile. As it turns out, there's no shortage of bars around the arena, and they find one within 10 minutes of leaving. Gino sits with James while Stammer and PK play pool with a couple of locals. A few other players wander in and out, and Gino waves to the ones he knows, but it's relatively restful. He and James learned their lesson the year before. They take the first night easier. They can have a little more fun with everyone else the second night.
So, how's it going with that girl?
James asks partway through a second beer. When Gino frowns at him, James clarifies.
The one you like? You said you were in love with her?
Gino stares at his drink and considers his options. After a moment, he sighs and says,
Not a girl, Neilsy.
James blinks at him, then takes a long chug of beer, sets it down, and says,
Okay, that's cool.
He stares at Gino thoughtfully.
Where did you meet him?
Gino gives James a look.
Don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, sure, James says. Okay. Just, this is kind of huge, you know? Is it, like, a thing?
He gestures vaguely at Gino.
What about Oksana?
Gino shrugs.
Love is love.
All right. James traces his fingers through the condensation on his glass. Gino plays with his napkin, waiting for him to process.
I'm glad you told me. He smiles a little. Sure you can't tell me who it is? I probably don't even know him, right?
Gino winces, and James's eyes go wide. Before he can say anything, Gino leans in and hisses,
You want to know? Fine. It's Sid. I love Sid.
James's mouth falls open, and he gapes dumbly at Gino for almost a full minute. Then he picks up his glass, pounds back the rest of his beer, and announces,
I'm not drunk enough for this conversation. Let's go back to the hotel and raid the minibar.
Gino wholeheartedly agrees with this plan and flags down the bartender to pay their tab. They wave to PK and Stammer as they go, passing Sagan and Landskog on their way out.
Leaving already? Chips Sagan.
But Neil just waves him off, and Gino shrugs at him.
You here must mean this party over, he says.
Sagan flips him off, laughing. They catch a cab back to the hotel and head up to their room in silence. James is fairly twitching with nervous energy through the entire elevator ride, and the moment they get inside their room, he makes a beeline for the minibar. Gino watches as James downs a swallow of vodka, then accepts the stupid tiny bottle for himself.
Okay, James says. Tell me everything.
Bossy,
Gino comments, trying to smile. He looks down at the bottle, sighs, and chugs the rest of it.
Fine, I tell you.
But he doesn't know where to start at first. Does he start with when he learned about Mason, or when he first fell in love with Sydney? The former is easier to explain than the latter, so he tells James, as briefly as he can, the situation with Aaron and Sydney and why everything is terrible and nothing is good. When he is finished, James stares at him, mouth working soundlessly. Eventually, he says,
Wow, you are so gone on him, aren't you?
Gino glares at him.
You asked me to tell, I tell.
No, I know, I just... Look, I've never seen you like this, James says, waving his hands expressively. No wonder you've been...
He stops and winces.
Yes,
Gino agrees. He rubs at his face and sighs.
I am stupid, I know. Let it get to me too much.
We all do stupid things when we're in love.
James stands up and goes back to the minibar.
Fuck it, he says after a moment of consideration. I'm taking all of it. I have money.
Gino laughs and tosses the teeny bottle of vodka at the trash can.
We split it.
Between them, they go through 3 more tiny bottles of alcohol in the next half hour. Gino finds himself rambling about Sydney and how Sydney smiles at him, has always smiled at him, even when they couldn't understand each other except on the ice. He has tried before to figure out when his admiration and respect for Sydney had changed into the all-consuming affection and desperate longing that seems to define his life now. He still doesn't know what it was, but he remembers thinking when Sydney was drinking from the cup,
I want to spend the rest of my life with him.
And it isn't just a physical thing. Gino's been attracted to men before, but only fleetingly. Nothing more than passing infatuations. He had been taken by surprise when he realized how badly he wanted to kiss Sydney. Not just for the sex, but because he wanted to hold Sydney close to him, to feel him beneath his hands and reassure himself that Sydney is real. You know, James says, much later, he's lying on his bed, head dangling off the edge to look at Gino, who has sunk down to sit on the floor between their beds. It makes a weird kind of sense. You've always been weird about Sydney.
Hey,
Gino protests weakly. Please, you know I'm right. He drops his hand down and bats it against Gino's face. How many people know?
Family knows,
Gino says.
Think Sergey knows. And you.
Jim smiles, which looks weird upside down. I'm honored. He sobers abruptly. Honestly, Gino, thank you for trusting me.
We are friends,
Gino says.
Yes?
Of course. James sits up and turns so that he's facing Gino normally, albeit looking down at him. Are you going to tell him?
Why?
Gino contemplates the small, empty bottle of rum in his hand.
What get from telling?
I know you don't want to hear this, but the guys, we've noticed that something is going on with you. I mean, I think Polly has told people you're pining for someone or whatever, but if you think Sydney doesn't know something's up, James shakes his head. He's going to start asking us, probably me, if we know what's going on with you. He's already kind of asked. Gino looks up at that.
What'd he say?
James shrugs and slides off the edge of the bed so that he's sitting on the floor, too. He asked if you'd been busy recently because you hadn't been around to see Mason. And Gino hates that he's doing this to Sydney, and he knows there is some logic in what James is saying, but...
He hate me if I tell, he says. Not feel the same.
He won't hate you, James says. It would take a lot, I think, for Sydney to hate you. He sighs and rubs a hand through his hair. Maybe it's a dumb idea, but if you got it out, if you... I don't know, had the chance to do something, maybe you can get over it. Gino stupidly wants to insist that he doesn't want to get over it, that he can't. As terrible as it can be to see Sydney with the family that Gino, in his more selfish moments, thinks should have been his, there's no happiness that can compare to the way he lights up when Sydney smiles at him. Love shouldn't be something you just get over, even when it hurts. Especially when it hurts. But James is right, and he knows that. Sydney would want to know, if only so he knows why Gino has been off all year. Maybe he'll stop asking Gino over, stop asking him to dinner to see Mason, stop reminding Gino that Sydney has found himself a life and a home and a family, and he did it all without Gino.
Okay,
he says croakily.
I find a time, I tell him.
James looks at him for a moment, then lunges forward and clumsily hugs Gino around the neck, kneeling over him. I'm sorry, he says. This sucks. You can come get drunk with me and Polly after, if you want.
Thanks,
Gino says. He pats James's back.
You are a good friend.
The fucking best, James agrees, sitting back. He punches Gino in the shoulder. Fuck you for dropping that on me like that, though.
You ask,
protests Gino. But James is grinning at him, and Gino feels lighter. Better than he has in ages. The All-Star Weekend ends up being pretty fun. And there's a surprisingly good turnout given it's Columbus. Team Callahan wins handily by 4 points, and they all go out to celebrate afterwards, drinking and trading stories. Gino gets a text from Sydney a little before midnight, just a brief, "Sorry you lost." And instead of staring at it like he might have done before, he elbows James and they go to buy shots. He gets another text an hour later, this time with a photo attached. He opens it and sees a picture of Mason curled up in his crib, clutching the little plush Gino toy to his chest. "Mason says sorry too," Sydney assents. Gino swallows hard and turns off his phone. James catches the look on his face, yells something at Tanger, and then drags him back to the bar. "Here," James says, taking a glass from Tanger and pressing it into Gino's hand. "To winning and to a good season." "We're the ones who won," Flower said from Tanger's other side, but he agreeably clinks his glass against James's. Gino drinks it down and smiles. Gino returns from the break determined to face the Sydney situation head on. But once he's back in Pittsburgh, it's hard to convince himself that it needs doing. He settles in at home, getting ready for the season to resume, and sends Sydney just one cursory text to let him know he's got back okay. "Aaron got called back to Swaziland," is what he gets in return. And Gino swears softly at his phone. He can tell from the text how Sydney feels about it, and he sits staring at his phone for nearly 5 full minutes before he shakes his head, grabs his coat, and heads out to his car. Sydney looks surprised when he answers the door to find Gino standing there, but he lets him in all the same, gesturing for Gino to stamp off the snow on the mat outside. "What are you doing here?" Sydney asks as Gino shrugs off his coat.
"You say Aaron leave," Gino says. "Come to see how you are."
He takes the opportunity to look Sydney over. Sydney looks exactly the same as he had before the break, though he's dressed for bed now, low-slung sweatpants and a worn t-shirt. As Gino watches, Sydney rubs one bare foot against his calf, scrubs a hand across his hair and sighs.
"I'm fine," Sydney says. "You want, I don't know, tea?"
He doesn't wait for an answer, just heads for the kitchen and Gino trails after him, getting damp boot prints on Sydney's floor. Sydney fusses with the stove for a few minutes while Gino makes himself comfortable at the kitchen table. When Sydney finally turns around, he looks a little more composed, and he sits down across from Gino while the kettle heats. "She got the call last night," Sydney says, not looking up at Gino. She's an expert in epidemic, so they need her, and she..." Sydney sighs. "She said she's going to try not to be away for so long again. Anyway, she went back to Philadelphia this morning to grab some things, and then she's flying out."
"And you're okay?"
Gino asks. The tension running through Sydney is palpable, the line of his shoulder and neck tight and unforgiving.
"She is special for you, yes?"
Sydney looks up at that, and Gino can't read his expression. The way Sydney's mouth is a flat line, but he doesn't look unhappy, exactly. "Of course she is. She's Mason's mother." Suddenly, all the tension runs out of Sydney, like someone had cut a string, and he slumps forward. Gino instinctively reaches out to squeeze Sydney's shoulder, feeling helpless. "I asked her to marry me," Sydney confesses in a very quiet voice, "when she told me about Mason." Gino clenches his jaw and breathes out slowly. It makes sense. It's a Sydney thing to have done, but his chest aches at the thought of having Sydney that much further from his reach.
"What'd she say?"
"Obviously she said no." Sydney sighs and drops his head into his hands. "I knew she would, but I had to do something, you know? She was prepared to have this baby, and I wanted her to know that I would be prepared too." He pauses for a moment, then says, carefully,
I think I was in love with her once.
Gino bites the inside of his cheek hard and forces himself not to change his expression, even as his eyes burn.
Yes.
When we first met, Sydney says. I'm not anymore, he adds, looking at Gino finally. I haven't been for a while. But sometimes I think we could have been good, and having her around reminded me of that.
He shakes his head, smiling wryly. I think I got a little too used to it, to seeing what having a family could be like, you know?
Gino does know, knows all too well exactly what Sydney means. But before he has to answer, the kettle on the stove starts whistling, and Sydney gets up to take it off the flame.
Gino accepts the mug Sydney hands him and breathes in the rich smell of the herbal tea Sydney has chosen. The two of them sit in silence for a few minutes, cautiously sipping at their tea. Eventually, Sydney sets his mug down and looks straight at Gino. I'm fine, I really am, he said. She's a friend, and I'll miss having her around, and so will Mason, but this is her job. I would never ask her to quit.
She will miss Mason, Gino says,
because he can't think of anything else to say, and Sydney looks sad at that.
She cried a little, Sydney says. I think it scared Mason. He plays with the tag on his teabag for a moment. This isn't going to be able to work this way forever, but I don't know how we're going to change it. He huffs out a small, very false laugh. Sorry, this can't be very interesting.
We are friends,
Gino says, bumping his mug against Sydney's.
You can talk to me, always.
Sydney gives him a smile that's much more real than his laugh, and Gino smiles back instinctively before remembering that he's supposed to be distracting himself from Sydney and looking away. There's a staticky crackle from the counter. Gino jerks around, startled. Sydney gets up and lays a soothing hand on Gino's shoulder as he passes. Don't worry, it's just Mason's baby monitor. He glances back over his shoulder as he picks up the monitor. Want to say hi to him? Gino knows he should say no. It will be easier after he comes clean if he doesn't have to think about Mason and Sydney and those awful moments where they felt like family. But Sydney looks so hopeful that Gino can't deny him.
Okay,
he says, rising from his seat.
He asleep?
I think he just woke up, Sydney says, lifting the monitor to his ear. Let's go check on him.
Gino follows Sydney upstairs to Mason's room, a path so familiar Gino is sure he could place it in his sleep, and watches as Sydney lifts Mason out of the crib. Mason seems a little restless, kicking at Sydney's ribs as Sydney bounces him lightly. But he settles when he sees Gino.
Gee, Mason says, wriggling.
Gino breaks into a helpless smile and is reaching out before he consciously decides to.
Gee home, Mason says to Sydney.
That's right, Sydney says. Your G is home. Sydney carefully settles Mason into Gino's arms and watches them with fond eyes. He really has missed you, you know.
I believe you.
Gino says, hoarse and thick. He hums softly to Mason and watches as he starts to smile. Encouraged, Gino sings the first verse of the lullaby he started to think of as Mason's, and Mason settles down, looking up with huge, adoring eyes. Mason starts to flag at the beginning of the third verse, blinks becoming slower and more languid until he finally slumps into Gino's shoulder. Soft baby snores vibrating against Gino's skin. Gino blinks hard, amazed at the trust and love Mason gives so easily.
Have you ever thought about having kids? Sydney asks suddenly.
He would be an amazing dad.
Yes.
Gino looks down at Mason and tries to imagine what this would feel like if Mason were his. But he finds that he can't imagine loving any child more than Mason. This child, who is part Sydney and calls Gino G and loves when Gino sings in Russian to him. It's a child he's always wanted. Only, Mason isn't his.
Did you and Oksana ever talk about having kids? Sydney asks. You were pretty serious for a while.
We talk, yes,
Gino says. There had been a time when he had imagined raising his kids in Pittsburgh alongside Sydney and Duper and Tanger. But Russia is Oksana's home, and he'd never ask her to leave for him. He probably should have wondered sooner why he had stopped thinking of Russia as home. He knows why now, of course. Home for Gino will always be where Sydney is.
I think I never have kids.
Sydney frowns at him. I don't understand. Gino takes a deep breath. He can see his options now, like a play happening further down the ice that hasn't reached him yet.
There is a person I want a family with, but it is. I do not think it can happen.
I overheard Polly saying something like that, Sydney says, looking slightly guilty. You haven't said anything about it to me, though.
No,
Gino agrees. There is a brief, awkward silence, and then Sydney says, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to. But he looks hurt, mouth turned down in an unhappy curve. Gino hates when Sydney looks like that.
I don't,
Gino says honestly.
But Neil Z say I should tell you.
Sydney waits, and Gino stalls by tucking a lock of Mason's wavy hair behind his ear. Gino, Sydney says finally, and Gino looks up. Who is it? Gino breathes in, then out.
You, Sid,
he says finally, his voice cracking on Sydney's name. Sydney's brow draws together. I don't think I understand, he says slowly, staring at Gino. Gino closes his eyes tightly.
I love you, Sid,
he says, and the words fall from him like broken glass, the sharp edges lodging in his chest and his stomach and his heart.
I am in love with you.
Sydney doesn't say anything for nearly a full minute. Gino chances a look at Sydney's face and immediately regrets it. Sydney has gone ashen, staring at Gino as though he's never seen him before. You. Sydney stops, shakes his head. You're serious.
Yes,
Gino says. Sydney starts, and then he turns away. He paces away, back, and looks at Gino for so long that Gino has to avert his eyes. Gino, Sydney says at last. And he sounds horribly pitying, so kind that Gino wants to tear his hair out. Beg Sydney to just break his heart so he can move on. Tell himself that Sydney wasn't worth it anyway. I'm flattered, but you know I don't feel the same way, don't you?
Yes,
Gino whispers.
I know, I always know.
I never meant to. Sydney gestures inarticulately, then drops his hands back to his side. He chews his lower lip. I'm sorry if I did anything that made it worse.
You don't have to say sorry,
Gino snaps, before remembering that he's still holding Mason. He turns to the crib and takes a deep breath before settling Mason down. When he turns around, Sydney is still standing there, still with that awful, pitying expression on his face, and Gino can't look at him. Not when all he wants to do is take Sydney in his arms and whisper over and over again,
I love you, please don't hate me.
Still, Sydney begins, and Gino just can't take it. Not now. Not with Mason behind him. Not when he's tired and lovesick and so lonely he aches with it.
I go home,
he says, and he brushes past Sydney on his way to the door. Sydney doesn't try to stop him, and Gino doesn't look back. Too consumed in self-pity and trying not to think too hard about the look on Sydney's face, the clear sorrow that he can't give Gino what he wants. And the worst part is that Gino hadn't expected anything else. He had dreamed, of course, of Sydney welcoming him with open arms. But he had known it was unlikely. Even so, it hurts more than he thought it would, and he has to pull over on the way to just breathe, gasping for air while his hands clench hard around his steering wheel. James looks like he had probably been sleeping when he answers the door, but he takes one look at Gino's face and says, "I'll call Polly. Beer's in the fridge." Gino goes into the kitchen, pulls out a beer, and then his knees kind of give out beneath him. James finds him there a minute later and crouches down to squeeze Gino's shoulder. "I'm so sorry," James said quietly. "But I'm proud of you, too. You got it all out in the open, man. That's kind of amazing."
"I love him,"
Gino says with a can of beer in his hands. James sighs and sits down so that his back is against the fridge. "I know." James steals the beer from Gino and takes a long swig. Gino hears the sound of James's front door opening, and Paul yells, "Where are you guys?" "Kitchen," James yells back, and Paul appears a minute later. "Party on the floor?" he asks. He steps over them to get to the fridge and pulls out two beers, one of which he passes to James. He sits down so that his back is to the kitchen island and holds up his beer can in a salute. "Love sucks." "Amen," James says, clinking his can against Paul's, and Gino manages a smile, lifting his own can to theirs. He spends the night on James's sofa, legs sticking off the edge, and drives home early in the morning, bleary-eyed and achy from head to toe. He crashes onto his bed and passes out again, but not before turning his back on the photo from Mason's birthday, still sitting on his bedside table. Gino can count on one hand the number of times he's gone for longer than a week without speaking to Sydney in some way since they met. Ever since he arrived at Mario's, hands shaking from nerves and still convinced that someone from back in the Super League would pop out and drag him on a plane back to Russia, and saw Sydney standing on the porch, hands awkwardly shoved in his pockets. Sydney has been a constant. Even when they had been separated by half the world, Sydney would text him small updates about his life, ask Gino about his. The two times Gino can remember not talking to Sydney were during the very worst of Sydney's concussion, when all he was permitted to do was sit quietly, maybe read if he was able. And what Gino now knows were the first weeks of Sydney being Mason's sole caretaker. Neither time had he been so acutely aware of the silence between them as he is now. What makes it worse is that they aren't not talking, exactly. But they aren't saying anything important either. Sydney speaks to him about their games, about practice, and Gino gives short answers, neither of them looking at each other the whole time. Gino's confession hangs heavy in the air between them every time they speak, and Gino can tell that Sydney is trying to pull back, give Gino space. He hates it, but he's grateful, too. Valentine's Day feels more like a mockery than usual, coming in a saccharine swell of pink and red hearts and chocolate that he shouldn't be eating anyway. They have a game scheduled for the actual day, which Gino is actually happy about, as it means he can safely go to sleep afterwards and not think about Sydney and the vague imaginings he's had of what he might do for Sydney on Valentine's. He receives a sweet card from his parents and a joke flirty one from Oksana, both of which he props up on his bedside table. He still hasn't moved the photo from Mason's birthday, even though his chest feels tight and his breath comes harder when he looks at it. He can't bring himself to touch it, which is probably a little pathetic, but he's still glad he has it, so he can remember what it felt like to feel as though he belonged somewhere. They fly out to Winnipeg on the 13th, the married guys on the team jokingly complaining about having to leave their wives, as they do every year. Sydney doesn't look at Gino on the bus or the plane, and is quiet even for him, burying his head in one of his history books rather than playing video games. After Flower makes a few unsuccessful attempts to draw him into conversation, everyone leaves Sydney alone. The game goes well, an easier win than any of them expecting, especially with the whole stadium booing them, and Gino goes back to the hotel feeling, if not happy, at least not actively sad. He emails his family and Oksana to thank them for the cards before changing out of his suit and showering, hissing when the hot water hits the new blooming bruise on his left hip. He's getting ready to go to bed and maybe watch some television when there's a knock at his door, cautious and quiet. Frowning, he answers it and finds Sydney standing on the other side, mouth twisted unhappily. "We need to talk," he says, voice firm. There is absolutely nothing Gino wants to do less. But he isn't in the habit of refusing Sydney anything, so he opens the door silently and lets him in. Sydney is hunching a bit, as if trying to make himself smaller to give Gino space. Gino does them both a favor of pulling out the chair at the little desk and sitting in it so Sydney can pace restlessly, brow furrowed. After an interminable amount of time, Sydney turns to look at him and says bluntly, "I want to go on a date with you." Gino is on his feet before he consciously realizes it, anger blazing through him.
"That is not funny, Sid,"
he growls, hands clenching. He had never thought this of Sydney, never thought he would be so cruel to throw it back in his face like this.
"Why you do this?"
But Sydney doesn't back down. He lifts his chin, jaw set, and stares back at Gino.
"It isn't a joke. I want to go on a date with you."
He's using his captain voice, his gaze steady and unwavering, and Gino can't listen. Can't deal with Sydney saying something like this. It's too much. Gino shakes his head and says,
"You don't know what you're saying."
"I've been thinking about it since..." Sydney stumbles, then regroups. "I've been thinking about it. I wasn't expecting you to say that, but I don't... I like you, Gino. You're my friend, and I want to go on a date with you."
"It's not that simple,"
Gino says, shaking his head. "Don't you think I know that?" Sydney snaps back, taking an aggressive step forward. "Don't you think I haven't thought about this? I have, okay? I have Mason, and we're teammates, and... You're important to me, Gino, and I can't stop thinking about you. And I don't know what that means because I've never..." His voice trails off, but he doesn't look away from Gino's face. "I don't know what I'm doing here," he says after a moment, "but I care about you."
"Don't need pity," Gino says. "Leave, Sid. Don't do this for me."
"It's not pity," Sydney retorts. "I want to try this, Gino, please." His voice wavers, and Gino feels his resolve melting away. Even though he doesn't want Sydney like this, doesn't want their friendship to be broken up by Sydney trying to force himself to like Gino. Gino swallows hard. He rubs his hand over his face and sits down again, heart pounding. After a moment, Sydney touches his shoulder, and Gino reaches up to catch Sydney's hand in his. Sydney squeezes gently, thumb rubbing over Gino's knuckles.
"Sid,"
he says, looking up.
"I don't want... We are friends. Could lose that."
"I know," Sydney says, crouching down so his face is even with Gino's. "Gino, I know. I'm not going into this blind. We're good together. We both know that. I just think we could try. I think I could..." He clears his throat, going slightly pink. "I think I could love you if you let me try." Gino stares at Sydney, at his faint blush and his damp curls, dripping water down his temples, and lifts his free hand to cup Sydney's jaw. Sydney doesn't flinch, doesn't move. Just keeps looking steadily at Gino.
"Okay,"
Gino says quietly.
"Okay, we try."
He hesitates, then says,
"I kiss you now."
At this, Sydney closes his eyes. "Okay," Sydney says, and Gino leans in slowly, stomach fluttering absurdly, and presses his lips to Sydney's, light and tentative. Sydney sighs and instinctively follows Gino's mouth when Gino pulls back. Eyes opening to slits, and they stare at each other for a moment,
before Gino ducks back in and kisses Sydney more firmly, hand sliding around to cup the back of his head. Sydney tightens his grip on Gino's hand, making a small noise into Gino's mouth, and it's so much better than Gino had ever imagined, because Sydney is responsive and eager and solid, smelling like the hotel shampoo and shaving cream, and Gino knows he never could have dreamed this up in a million years. He lays two more gentle kisses on Sydney's mouth before he pulls back, keeping his hand on the back of Sydney's neck. It takes Sydney a moment to open his eyes again, and he looks so beautiful, eyes wide and amazed, mouth full and pink, that Gino has to kiss him again, quick and sneaky. "A date," Sydney says after a moment, blinking slowly. "When we get back to Pittsburgh, He flushes. "That was good, but..."
"We go slow," Gino assures him. "Slow as you want."
"Thank you," Sydney says, looking embarrassed. "This is just all kind of new to me." He waves his hand vaguely between them. "But I like it." He coughs, smiles, and tilts his head up just a little. And Gino takes the hint to kiss him again, slow and soft. His hands are shaking against Sydney's neck, and Sydney covers Gino's hands with his, smiling when Gino pulls back.
"Sid,"
Gino sighs, cradling Sydney's jaw, awestruck that this is his life, that this is happening.
"If you ever don't want something, tell me."
"I don't think I'll need to," Sydney says, still smiling, though now it's kind of dazed. Gino sucks in a shaky breath and closes his eyes.
"I love you,"
he says, unable to hold it in. And Sydney lets out a tiny sigh that puffs across his mouth before moving his hand back to Gino's neck. "I know," Sydney says, and he squeezes gently before letting go. Gino opens his eyes and watches as Sydney stands up, straightening his shirt.
"Sunday?"
he suggests as Sydney is about to leave. Sydney flashes him a little smile. "I'll ask Simone to babysit," he says, and he waves dorkily before slipping out the door. Gino sits back in his chair and covers his face with his hands, body still thrumming with adrenaline and his stomach jumping with nerves. Things don't exactly change, although Sydney and Gino keep looking at each other and grinning stupidly or breaking into fits of giddy laughter, which luckily no one but James and maybe Beau seems to notice. They eat breakfast together, not speaking, just with their legs pressed together under the table, but sit in their usual places on the plane. Gino keeps having to remind himself not to zone out while staring at the back of Sydney's head if he doesn't want someone catching him and chirping him for it. He spends some of the time frantically researching romantic restaurants and making some very weird phone calls to see what he can do about getting private rooms. Eventually, he decides he's better off just making Sydney dinner himself, and that sets off a whole new spiral of worrying what to make. Eventually, he calls James and forces him to help, which does also mean he has to confess to the fact that he has a date with Sydney. "I can help you with that," James says when he gets the whole story out of Gino. "For the good of the team and everything. Meet you at the store by your house in 15. Gino is standing blankly in the supermarket, staring at the produce aisle in a daze, when James arrives and says, "Okay, not that I don't appreciate your faith in me, but I don't understand why you called me."
"Only one who know about us,"
Gino says, giving him an exasperated look.
"Who else?"
"I don't know. Someone who cooks? You could have called Paul."
James picks up a ginger root and makes a face at it.
"Gross. Look, I'm sure he'll like whatever you make for him."
"First date, Neilsy,"
Gino says, taking the ginger from him and putting it back down.
"I have to impress him."
"Polly just makes me eggs and bacon and I'm happy," James points out.
"You easy,"
Gino says.
"Also, not dating."
"True."
James grabs a bag of onions and shakes them.
What about these?
Gina rolls his eyes and holds out the basket.
Put it in.
They collect enough ingredients for Gino to be able to make pretty much anything that he knows, which admittedly isn't much. James comes home with him and helps around the kitchen, which mostly translate to cutting onions and swearing when his eyes start watering. This is ridiculous, he yells as he washes his hands, eyes streaming. And Gino laughs helplessly, doubling over. Fuck you, Gino. See if I ever help you again.
You do very good job,
Gino says, breathless with laughter. Gino makes risotto, since it's easy, and Sydney will probably appreciate the carbs during the pregame skate on Monday. James does a lot of stirring and bows out when it's about time for Sydney to arrive, saying, I'm happy for you and everything, but I don't really want to see you guys suck face.
We are going slow,
Gino says primly, trying not to think of how Sydney's mouth had felt on his. Something of his thoughts must show on his face, because James makes a disgusted noise and says, I'm sure. Good luck and whatever. Gino waves him out and runs upstairs to change clothes while the risotto is simmering. He goes through 4 shirts before settling on a button-down black one his American agent had made him get for some event a few years before, and he's debating tucking the ends in when his doorbell rings. He glances in the mirror, smooths his hair down anxiously, and gives up on tucking his shirt in. He heads back down to his front door and spends a couple of seconds reminding himself that it's just Sydney. They see each other nearly every day, have known each other for years. He's seen Sydney's horrible jockstrap. He pushes back the tiny voice, saying, This is different. This is important. Once he's collected himself, he opens the door and smiles at Sydney, who is standing on his porch with a bottle of wine, a bouquet of flowers, and a panicked expression.
Taylor said I should bring wine, Sydney says, waving the bottle. I didn't know what you were cooking, so I just grabbed red, and I bought the flowers in kind of a panic.
Gina reaches out, snags Sydney by the belt loops, and drags him inside.
Thank you,
he says, closing the door. He takes the wine bottle and leans in to kiss Sydney on the cheek.
Very thoughtful.
Sydney sags. I'm a little nervous, he confesses. Gino smiles at him, touches their foreheads together, and says,
Me too.
They grin shyly at each other for a moment. Then Gino says,
Come, get vase for flowers.
He gives Sydney a stool to stand on so he can get the vase down from the cabinet over Gino's stove and busies himself with preparing 2 plates of risotto. He goes into the living room and sets them down as Sydney tidies the bouquet. There's a moment where they look at each other, both of them blushing and smiling idiotically, and then Sydney says, I'll go grab the wine glasses. Gino follows him into the kitchen and takes the glasses from Sydney, setting them down on the counter. Sydney looks up at him, eyes very wide, and Gino gently rests his hands on Sydney's shoulders.
Relax,
he says.
No tricks here.
That's not what I'm worried about, Sydney says, rolling his eyes. I'm worried that I'll say something wrong and you'll hate me forever, and then Mason will lose you too.
Never hate, Gino assures. Come on, we eat and watch something.
Sydney perks up. I still have the DVDs you gave me in my car, he says shyly. If you want.
Dinner first,
Gino says. He leans past Sydney to pick up the glasses and gently hip-checks him.
Come, food will get cold.
They sit awkwardly at the table for about a minute, both of them poking at their food and sneaking looks at each other, before Sydney gives a huffy sigh and says, We're being dumb about this. Gino grins down at his plate.
You make me dumb.
Sydney presses the inside of his foot to Gino's calf fleetingly. It's dinner. We can both relax, right?
Done this before,
Gino agrees. He reaches out across the table to lay his hand over Sydney's. After a pause, Sydney turns his hand over so he can squeeze Gino's fingers.
Okay, Sydney says, bracing. So tell me about what you cooked.
Gino raises his eyebrows.
What I cook? Really?
Shut up, I couldn't think of anything else. Sydney goes red and ducks his head.
Well?
So Gino tells Sydney, in between bites of food, about grocery shopping with James and how Xenia had taught him to cook risotto in his first year in Pittsburgh.
She say easy, not even I can make mistake.
He says, laughing.
First time, though, I burn onions.
Sydney visibly fights back a smile and lifts his glass of wine to his lips.
Gino.
I get distracted.
Gino kicks Sydney under the table.
Never see you cook.
I can make sandwiches,
Sydney says. And Gino laughs, then laughs harder when he sees Sydney's indignant expression. Other stuff too.
Prove it,
Gino challenges. I will, says Sydney. Next date, I'll cook you dinner. How about that?
Next date?
Gino asks, smile turning dopey. I think you've earned it. Sydney raises a fork loaded with risotto. This is really good.
Thank you,
says Gino. He picks up his glass of wine.
Toast?
Sydney clinks his glass against Gino's. To risotto.
To risotto,
agrees Gino. Sydney turns giggly partway through his second glass, cheeks going red, and Gino loves this. Loves when Sydney relaxes just that extra bit. Sydney doesn't drink often, and Gino can't say that he prefers Sydney a little tipsy. But he does appreciate the way Sydney forgets to be Sydney Crosby for a while. Forgets to be on his guard. I was at the store, Sydney is saying, as he scrapes his fork against his plate, cleaning up the last of his food. Just staring at these flowers, you know. And I guess I must have looked. He twirls his finger next to his temple. Anyway, this woman who works there comes up to me and asks me what I was looking for, and I told her it was for a first date, and the ones she suggested were these bright orange roses, and I couldn't. He starts laughing.
So we settled on sunflowers. Safe.
Black and gold,
adds Gino. And Sydney nods, grinning.
Figured they were a good omen, Sydney says,
reaching over to twitch one of the flowers back upright. They migrate to the living room after putting the dishes away in the sink, Sydney settling into the couch cushions like he belongs there. Gino sits next to him and, after a hesitant pause, puts his arm around Sydney's shoulders. Sydney hums happily and tucks his head against Gino. Okay, let's watch, Sydney says, and he hits play on the DVD remote. It's a quieter episode than the first two. More about the soldiers as people. Some of it reminds Gino of going out with the boys after a game. All of them amped up with adrenaline and looking for release. Gino pulls Sydney a little tighter against him. When the episode is over, Sydney is yawning and boneless, wavering on his feet when Gino helps him up. So tired, he sighs, leaning into him.
I drive you home, Gino suggests. You crash.
I'll be fine, Sydney says, and immediately yawns so widely he nearly walks into the doorframe. Gino grabs his shoulder and carefully steers him out into the hall.
Yes, fine,
Gino says dryly.
Come on, I take you home, Icy Mason. I'll win, yes?
Okay, Sydney says, relenting. Let's go. They arrive to a quiet house, the lights off. Simone is asleep on top of her notebook at the dining room table, thick hair falling out of its braid. Sydney wakes her with a gentle shake of the shoulder and says, Hey, we're home.
Oh, hi, she says groggily, blinking at them. Hey, Gino.
She yawns and stretches. Mason is asleep. He was a little fussy with dinner, didn't want to eat his food, so I gave him some Cheerios and then convinced him to have some yogurt.
Thank you, Sydney says. You should head home. You look exhausted.
Ugh, you're not wrong. Simone rises to her feet. You two take care. Gina waves as she packs up her things, and then follows Sydney upstairs. Just as Simone had said, Mason is asleep, curled up around his Sydney toy this time. Sydney groans and tries to move it out of Mason's arms, but Mason clings on tightly. He loves those creepy things, Sydney says, glaring at Gino. Won't put them down. I don't know if he recognizes them as us, but it's kind of weird to come home to your son chewing on the head of a toy version of you. Gino laughs and reaches down to stroke Mason's hair.
He miss you, maybe.
Sydney leans over and cautiously twines his hand with Gino's. Gino looks at him in surprise and sees that Sydney is smiling at him, soft and sweet. He misses you when you're gone, too. I miss you when you're gone.
That why you go on date with me?
Yes, Sydney says simply. Gino tugs Sydney in closer.
I miss you too.
He kisses Sydney lightly, then lets go of his hand.
We wake him up, say goodnight.
Sydney chews his lower lip, staring at Mason. No, he says eventually. Let him sleep. He'll wake us up before we're ready anyway.
Us?
Gino asks, raising his eyebrows. I'm not driving you home, Sydney says, immediately punctuated by a huge yawn. Stay here tonight. I can drive you back to your house tomorrow before practice.
Here?
Gino feels like he did his first year in America, listening to words that he understood separately, but made no sense together. I have room, Sydney says, giving Gino another one of those smiles that twists him up inside. I'll even loan you some sweatpants to sleep in.
Too short for me, Gino says. And too big in the ass.
Oh, those jokes never get old, Sydney says, rolling his eyes.
Never,
Gino agrees happily.
Okay, I stay over.
Sydney loans him a pair of sweatpants he claims are too long for him, and a nearly falling apart t-shirt. Gino takes a quick shower just to rinse off and is about to pick a guest room to crash in when Sydney peeks out into the hall and says, Hey, where are you going?
Find a room.
Gino waves at the hall.
Which room have sheets?
Sleep with me, says Sydney. He immediately goes red. I mean, in my bed? There's plenty of room.
Not that kind of girl,
suggests Gino, trying to hide how pleased he is by Sydney's suggestion. Not at all. Sydney holds out his hand to Gino. Ready? Gino goes with him, and they settle into Sydney's bed together, carefully confined to their own sides. Gino glances over at Sydney and catches him looking back. This is awkward, isn't it? Sydney says, mouth twisting up.
A little, says Gino.
He shifts so that he's closer to Sydney and curls into him, cautiously linking their hands together.
Better?
Sydney wriggles around for a minute. Gino waits patiently until Sydney has finished before he rests his head on Sydney's shoulder. Sydney snorts, ruffling Gino's hair. Better.
Sleep now,
Gino says, closing his eyes. And the last thing he's aware of is the quiet rumble of Sydney's hum of affirmation. Gino wakes when Sydney shifts out from underneath him, way too early the next morning. He grumbles, trying to cling to Sydney.
Don't leave.
I can hear Mason crying, Sydney whispers, pointing at the baby monitor. I think he's awake.
I come with you.
Gino literally rolls out of bed and leans heavily against Sydney.
So early.
I told you he would wake us up before we were ready. Sydney wraps his arm around Gino's waist and leads him down the hall. He pushes open the door to Mason's room and calls, Morning, Mason. Dada, Mason coos, pulling himself up on the bars of his crib. Gee. Sydney lets go of Gino and picks Mason up, beaming. Are you hungry? Mason nods, hooking his hands onto the collar of Sydney's shirt. Food.
All right, big man, says Sydney. Let's go get you some food.
He sets Mason down on the floor and walks behind him as Mason toddles towards the door. Gino follows them both, grinning at the way Sydney is visibly holding himself back from trying to help Mason. When they get to the stairs, Sydney swoops Mason up and says, "Ready to fly?" "Yeah," Mason says, waving his arms as Sydney lifts him. "Fly." Sydney makes some really dumb noises. Gino thinks they're meant to be airplane noises as he carries Mason down the staircase. Mason shrieks with laughter, voice echoing around the stairwell. And Gino smiles as he follows them downstairs. Sydney sets Mason down in his high chair and says, "Gino, do you mind grabbing a bowl and pouring some cereal in it for Mason?"
"Sure,"
Gino says, and he heads into the kitchen. In the cabinet, he finds a green Winnie the Pooh bowl, which is clearly Mason's. He takes that out, along with a tiny spoon from the silverware drawer, and gets out the cereal and milk. It isn't until he has set the bowl on the tray of Mason's high chair that it occurs to him to wonder how he knew exactly where everything is in Sydney's house. He sits down next to Mason's high chair and watches as Mason plows into his breakfast.
"He gets so big,"
he says, watching in awe.
"Last time, he's still eating mostly when you feed him."
"I wish you were here more," says Sydney, stroking Mason's hair. "I like having you around. Mason likes it too, don't you?" Mason looks up at the sound of his name and nods. Gino grins and says,
"Thank you, Mason."
Sydney gives a mildly exasperated look. "You want breakfast?" Sydney asks. "I can make eggs. I think I have sausage, too." He glances at his watch. "Simone will be here in about an hour, and then I can drive you home, if that's okay."
"Breakfast is good,"
Gino says.
"I watch Mason."
"Okay," Sydney says, and he disappears into the kitchen, leaving Mason and Gino to stare at each other. After a moment, Mason digs his spoon back into his bowl and offers a spoonful of cereal to Gino.
"No, thank you,"
Gino says.
"But it's very nice of you to ask."
Mason grins with his baby teeth and bangs his spoon on the tray. Gino reaches over to still his hand and Mason squirms away, giggling. And then somehow manages to completely upend his bowl, sending milk and cereal flying. "Uh-oh," Mason says quietly, as milk starts to spread over the tray, dripping over the edge onto the carpet.
"Yup,"
Gino agrees, standing up so he can pull Mason out of the chair before he becomes a total mess.
"Let's get your daddy, yes?"
Mason frowns at him, so Gino says,
"Daddy,"
in English for his benefit, and Mason nods solemnly. Sydney looks at them in surprise when Gino comes into the kitchen. "What happened?" he asks, turning away from the stove to check over them.
"Mason had accident,"
Gino says.
"Need towels, clean up breakfast."
Sydney sighs, but smiles at Mason. "Did you make a mess?" "Uh-oh," Mason says, nodding. He giggles, clearly pleased with himself, and waves at Sydney. Sydney leans in to kiss Mason's cheek. "You're going to have to help Gino clean up, okay?" he says seriously. "I'm making breakfast." Mason nods again, much more solemnly, and Sydney lowers the flame on the stove before grabbing the paper towels for Gino. "Cleaning products are under the sink if you need them," he says. His mouth corks upwards. "This is nice."
"What, Mason making mess?"
Gino hitches Mason up and takes the paper towel roll from Sydney. "No, this." Sydney gestures between the two of them. "I like having you here. Helping out." Gino has to bite his lip to keep from grinning like a total idiot.
"Thanks. I like it too."
Sydney flashes him a smile and turns back to the stove. Gino stands there for a moment, staring at the strong line of Sydney's back, the flex of his muscles visible through his shirt, until Mason gets a hold of a lock of his hair at the back of his neck and pulls.
Ouch.
Gino readjusts Mason so he can look him in the face and frown at him.
Bad boy.
Mason grabs his nose, which Gino decides to take as an apology. He mops up the spilled milk and cereal and lets Mason crawl around on the carpet with a piece of paper towel after he has moved the chairs out of the way. Mason kind of rubs at the carpet with his towel for a minute before getting bored and pulling himself up on Gino's leg.
Gee,
he says, insistent. Book.
Book?
Gino asks in confusion. He glances back over his shoulder towards the kitchen, but Sydney doesn't magically appear to translate for his son. He crouches down so he can look Mason in the face.
What you mean, book?
Book,
Mason repeats, and he starts toddling off towards the living room. Gino hurries after him, ready to catch him if he wobbles, but Mason is surprisingly steady on his feet. Gino has to open the door for him, but once through, Mason drops to a crawl and makes a beeline for the brightly colored book sitting on the floor by the coffee table. Gino sits down next to him and accepts the book when Mason pushes it into his hands.
Always you have me read for you, he says. Not learn good English that way.
Mason points at the book. Book, he says again, and Gino shakes his head.
Just like your papa,
he says, and opens to the first page. He's about halfway through when Sydney comes in with a plate of eggs and sausage and a cup of coffee. He sets them on the table behind Gino and leans down to peck Mason's head. Gino looks up at him, smiling, and Sydney licks his lips before ducking down to kiss Gino's cheek quickly, too. I read him something every morning I'm here, Sydney explains, dropping to the floor beside him. I figured you'd be in here with him.
Gee,
complains Mason, and Gino obediently looks back down at the book to pick up where he left off. Sydney scoots closer to him, resting his cheek on Gino's shoulder while Gino tells the story of the neglected teddy bear and the girl that decides to make him her best friend. His voice grows rougher towards the end, and he finds himself trying to discreetly wipe away the dampness in his eyes.
Sad book,
he says after he's closed it, and Mason has settled into a content sprawl on the carpet.
Bear can't find a way to fix himself.
But he finds someone to do it for him, Sydney says. He finds someone to love him. He reaches out and folds his hand over Gino's, fingers warm. Gino's breath hisses out of him. He finds a home. Gino lifts Sydney's hand to his mouth and kisses his fingertips, chest too tight for him to speak. Sydney regards him steadily, mouth curled in a soft, intimate smile, and Gino doesn't know if Sydney is trying to say what he thinks, but he really hopes he is. He clears his throat and squeezes Sydney's hand.
Pass me coffee.
Sydney's smile grows. He twists around to pick up the mug and presses it into Gino's free hand. I put some sugar in it. I don't know if it's as much as you usually like. Gino sips at the coffee and smiles.
Perfect.
Sydney smiles back, then gets up. I'm going to grab my plate. Gino nods and reaches back to pick up the plate Sydney had left for him. He starts eating his eggs as Mason rolls over and pushes him up onto his hands and knees.
What are you doing?
He asks Mason. Mason doesn't appear to hear him. Gino takes a bite of sausage as Mason totters to his feet, pressing his mouth together to hide his smile when Mason nearly falls over. Sydney returns as Mason makes his way towards the small hoard of toys in the corner of the living room. I should probably buy another toy chest at some point, Sydney says, sitting down next to Gino. He's too little still, I think, but once he's older, he'll be able to get it open on his own. They sit and watch Mason play with a toy fire truck, making little whiny siren noises as he steers it around their feet. Mason bumps it against Sydney's thigh before scampering off, giggling. Sydney shakes his head, mouth curved in a fond smile, and takes a bite of his breakfast. He gets a spot of ketchup in the corner of his lip and doesn't seem to notice. It's comfortable, Easy, even, to lean over and kiss it away. Easier still to turn it into something a little less chaste. Sydney sighs into it, straining towards Gino when he pulls back. His eyes flutter open and he stares up at Gino, mouth slightly parted.
Thank you,
Gino says.
Very nice date.
Sydney snorts. We didn't even do anything differently from normal, except sleep in the same bed. He pauses, expression turning thoughtful. He doesn't say anything for a few minutes, and Gino decides not to bother him while he's thinking. Instead, he drinks his coffee and watches Mason pat his hands on the carpet, apparently fascinated by the texture. Simone arrives in a flurry of books and papers that she dumps on the dining table after Gino lets her in. And the next few minutes are all hellos and goodbyes as Sydney covers Mason's face in kisses and promises he'll be home soon, don't worry. And Mason hugs him around the neck before reaching out towards Gino.
I leave too,
Gino says, settling Mason comfortably against his hip.
Be good for Simone.
Simone smiles and says, he's a good kid. Sydney looks so proud, cheeks going pink with happiness. He kisses Mason's head again, bracing himself on Gino's elbow for balance and sighs. We should go, he says, sounding regretful. And Gino nods before giving Mason a fond hug and passing him to Simone. Sydney is quiet for the drive over to Gino's, and when Gino asks if there's something wrong, he just shakes his head and says, just thinking. Gino knows from experience that it takes Sydney a while to adjust to changes in his life. It took him nearly a full year to get used to Colby being gone, always half-turning like he was expecting to see him there. And sometimes, Gino still catches him glancing up after someone makes a comment Max would have turned into a dirty joke. It's why it took Sydney years to finally leave Mario's, and why Sydney still wears a disgusting cup. And Gino knows that this thing between them is a huge, seismic shift for Sydney's world, especially coming off the heels of having a son. The best way for Sydney to come to terms with change, Gino has found, is to let himself work it out internally. Talking it out never helps. He had nearly bitten off Flower's head when he had tentatively broached the topic of Colby being traded. But Sydney will figure things out on his own, so Gino just reaches over to gently squeeze Sydney's knee and smiles when Sydney glances over. Sydney lets out a long, uneven breath and smiles back. At his house, Gino grabs a change of clothes, figuring he can shower at the rink, and brushes his teeth out of a vague sense of paranoia about coffee breath. Sydney is waiting in his driveway when he comes back out, a toque from somewhere pulled down low on his forehead. I think, Sydney says when Gino opens the door, that we should keep this to ourselves for a bit. He gestures between them, going red. I don't want to mess with the team dynamics or anything until... He falls silent, looking down. Gino reaches out and grabs Sydney's shoulder.
I understand.
And, moreover, he agrees. It's bad enough to have James know how gone he is for Sydney. He absolutely does not want Cookie or Flower or Duber to know before they're both secure and settled in what they have. It's not so much that he's afraid they won't be supportive. Actually, he gets the feeling some of them might be a little over-supportive, tipping over into the lewd suggestions category. And Gino doesn't want Sydney to get frightened off. And you're okay with that?
Yes.
Gino squeezes, thumb digging into the muscle of Sydney's neck.
Not a problem, Sid.
Sydney slumps a little, the steel going out of his spine. The smile he gives Gino now is looser and more relaxed than any Gino has seen yet that morning. Okay. It's a bit of a moot point, anyway. They have a tough week ahead of them, traveling to Columbus early in the week before coming home to play back-to-back games. They don't have much time to do coupley stuff between practice and sleeping and then traveling. They still eat breakfast sitting next to each other when they're in Columbus, and Gino drops by Sydney's room to talk to Mason over the phone. but aside from that, they try to act as normally as possible. Gino does catch Sydney giving him considering looks, but he brushes it off as nothing more than part of Sydney's thinking process. They win the game against Columbus, which is a great start to the week, and they're set to play the Panthers on Thursday, wearing their third jerseys, which makes Sydney's lip curl when he realizes it.
We played two games with them already,
Gino points out, nudging his elbow against Sydney's hip. I don't like them, Sydney mutters, glaring at his jersey.
Too bad. You look good in blue,
Gino says breezily, and Sydney's cheeks go pink. He shoves Gino away and makes a face at him, and Gino throws his head back and laughs.